Along with the things said, I express my appreciation for you coming to be with us today. We have visitors with us, and we're glad to see you. I want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. I'll be at the doors you leave should you have some question or like to study further. Appreciate the good reading from the book of Beginnings. Chapter 4, we have the account of the first children born to the first parents. We have a snapshot of an incident that took place in the lives of Cain and Abel. The record finds these two individuals bringing an offering unto the Lord. You might like to highlight or underscore that expression in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, unto the Lord. As I explored that prepositional phrase, I came across that a good number of times throughout my Bible. Most of those appearances are found within the pages of the Old Testament. I'm capitalizing on those words, unto the Lord, a few of which that I want to call to your attention from the New Testament. We're going to begin the book of Acts in chapter 11 this afternoon and in verse 21. As you think about this statement, unto the Lord, the setting of Acts 11 finds the church growing as a result of scattered saints being seed spreaders. You recall in Acts 8 when a great persecution arose against the church which is at Jerusalem, and dispersed disciples went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8 and verse 4. We read some of their evangelistic efforts in chapter 8, how Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ, and we read of his work with the man of Ethiopia. In Acts 11, 19, Luke, the author, picks up the story, saying, they which were scared abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching what? The word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. To preach the word is to preach the Lord Jesus, and to preach the Lord Jesus is to preach the word. What was the result of their preaching the word of the Lord? Look at verse 21. The Bible reports the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, now watch it, and turned unto the Lord. There's our expression we're talking about, unto the Lord. The first thing I want us to be impressed with as we explore this together is the fact that in the scriptures we read of those who were said to have turned unto the Lord. If you'd been among those of whom we're reading about in Acts chapter 11, would it have been said of you that you turned unto the Lord? As an illustration of that turning, we find the same word being used in Acts chapter 9 in connection with the death of Tabitha. In Acts 9 and verse 40, Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. This funeral service is different than any that you and I have attended. When you and I might have occasion to speak at a funeral service, we're speaking to the audience. I've never been at a service where a person would turn to the body and address the person in that casket. But on this occasion, evidently, Peter was turned away from the body, and now he turns to the body, and he says, Tabitha, arise. That's the same word, turn, that's used in connection with people, turning unto the Lord. As you can envision this man of God turning to the body, you and I turn to the Lord. It would imply that these folks were away from the Lord. But now they are turning themselves unto the Lord. And that's what that word turn suggests, to turn oneself. It's used of the passing of the Gentiles over to the religion of Jesus Christ. We find in Acts chapter 9 and verse 35 where it is said, all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Again, in the book of Acts in chapter 14 and verse 15. When Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel, there were those who wanted to make sacrifice unto them and treated them as gods. And Paul and Barnabas said, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. And so they were implored to turn from these vanities, to turn from the vanity of idolatry to the living God. That's Acts 14 and verse 15. In chapter 15 and verse 19, when we have the Jerusalem discussion over whether it's necessary for the Gentiles to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved, we have three speeches recorded. That of Peter and Paul and Barnabas. And then we have the speech of James. And then James' discussion. He said, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. In Acts 26, we have one of the accounts where the man whom the Lord appeared on the road to Damascus, named Saul, in Acts 9, but now identified as Paul, talks about the appearance of the Lord. In Acts 26 and verse 20, he talks to King Agrippa and says that showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And so attached or connected with this idea of turning unto the Lord is repentance and bringing forth works or meat that is fruit or fruits rather meat for repentance. That is, your turning unto the Lord is going to result in a visible turning. You're going to see a change that takes place in the lives of men and women when they turn themselves unto the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul addresses the Thessalonians and says in verse 9, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's an expression of conversion. When a person is converted to Christ, they turn unto the Lord. I'm thankful for those here today who have turned to the Lord. And there are those who need to turn to the Lord. They need to turn away from some things. Turn away from themselves. Turn away from idolatry. Turn away from error and false doctrine. Turn away from sinful practices. To turn unto the Lord. Think about who it is that you're turning to. You're turning to the Lord. But the second thing I want us to think about as you explore this expression is the fact that not only do we read and study and find out about those who turned unto the Lord, but also reference is made about those who were added unto the Lord. Come with me this time to the book of Acts in chapter 11 and in verse 24. Back to the scene where dispersed disciples went everywhere preaching. And some have come to Antioch, and as a result of their planting the seed, the church at Antioch came into existence. In Acts 11 and in verse 24, we're introduced to the work of Barnabas among the brethren in Antioch. And the Bible says of him that he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now, we find people who have turned to the Lord, and now we read of people who are added to the Lord. That expression is first found in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 47 of folks who are being added to the Lord or added to the church of the Lord. Acts 2 and verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In Acts 2, we're familiar with the setting where we have recorded the gospel being preached among all nations, first in Jerusalem, as Jesus said that it would be in Luke 24 in his meeting with the apostles. Verses 47 through 49, he said that remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. On this occasion, the apostles all spoke, but only Peter's sermon is recorded. He preached about Jesus. Beginning in verse 22, he said, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. He preached the fact that Jesus had been taken with wicked hands and crucified and slain. That he was put to death and that he arose again. And when the Bible says in verse 37, they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Put yourself in their place today. If you'd been among those who were told, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, what would you have done? Verse 41 says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This shows how an individual is added unto the Lord. As he turns unto the Lord in repentance of his sins and is baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. You see, when they repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, they were added by the Lord. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's how a person becomes a member of the church of Christ, the same way that folks became members in the Bible days. In Acts chapter 5, we find this same expression in verse 12, where by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That idea of being added to the Lord suggests to be joined to, or to be gathered with. And so if you'd been among those of whom we're reading about in the first century, would you have turned unto the Lord? Would you have been added unto the Lord as they were? But then taking this a step further, come back with me again to Acts chapter 11. In Acts 11 and verse 23, again of Barnabas, it is said that the church at Jerusalem would send him as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Here's our expression again, unto the Lord. Notice this time, we read where folks who had turned unto the Lord, who were added unto the Lord, are now exhorted to cleave unto the Lord. This is an example of the church in the first century doing the work of evangelism. Notice how they did that work. That work was done by the church by sending forth men to preach and sending unto men who preach the gospel. Here's an example of where the church sent forth men. The church at Jerusalem sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Acts 11 and verse 22. What did he do when he came to Antioch? He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And then we have the example of the church sending unto men, like the church at Philippi sent once and again unto Paul as he preached the gospel in Thessalonica, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And that's how the church of Christ does evangelism today, by sending forth men and sending unto men. But notice, as Barnabas was sent forth, that he exhorted them all. The Bible teaches the value of exhortation. We're to exhort one another daily. That is, we need daily exhortation. We need daily encouragement. Who of us is so strong that we don't need to be encouraged or to be exhorted? We need exhortation to cleave unto the Lord. That word cleave suggests to remain with, to continue with. You see, it's not enough for me to just turn to the Lord and be added unto the Lord. I've got to cleave unto the Lord. I've got to stick with him. I've got to keep on keeping on. We read of folks in the first century who, for one reason or another, did not continue with the Lord. One of the saddest scenes in the life of our Lord is in John chapter 6, when the Bible says that many of his disciples walked no more with him. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And so I need to be encouraged to cleave unto the Lord. And that word cleave is the same word that we find used in relation to the marriage union in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 24 when God instituted the marriage relationship at the beginning. He saw it was not good that man should be alone. And he put the man to sleep and performed the first operation in removing a rib from his side. And with that rib that God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her into man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so that word cleave suggests that union, that relationship between a man and woman in marriage. And as a man leaves and cleaves unto his wife, you and I do some leaving and cleaving of a spiritual nature. As we turn to the Lord, we're added to the Lord, we cleave unto him, we stick with him, we remain with him. The scriptures often use that word continue to emphasize faithfulness. As Paul in the book of Colossians in chapter 1 and in verse 21 said, "You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Listen, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And there are a lot of forces at work in our society to move us away from the hope of the gospel. But I've got to have the purpose of heart that I'm going to cleave unto the Lord. Notice he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart. He might underscore those words, purpose of heart. That suggests a strong resolve on our part. It takes determination. That's what Daniel had back in Daniel chapter 1 when he is carried captive over into Babylon. And at Nebuchadnezzar's table, meat was set before him. And the Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He didn't wait till he got to the table to decide what he was going to do. He had planned, put it in his mind, that he was not going to defile himself. He was not going to allow anything to cause him to become unclean before his God. It didn't make any difference where he was or what the circumstances were. He was going to remain faithful to God. And that's the kind of purpose of heart I need to have. I need to make up my mind right now, if I haven't already, that I'm going to cleave unto the Lord. I'm not going to allow anybody or anything to turn me away from the Lord or to cause me to become unclean before him, to cleave unto the Lord. I'm going to stick with him. As Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." But then finally, as I think about this expression, unto the Lord, not only do I learn the importance of turning unto the Lord, being added unto him, and cleaving unto him, but there's one other thing I want to share with you. And that is, I read about individuals being exhorted to live and die unto the Lord. This is in the context of Romans chapter 14, if you'd like to take your Bible over there. In Romans chapter 14, if you're familiar with the setting, it finds brethren at odds with one another. They have the improper attitudes toward each other. They're setting each other at naught. They're judging one another over matters of indifference to God. Personal liberties, where every man is to be fully persuaded in his own mind, Romans 14 and verse 5. The chapter deals with the issues of eating meats or observing days. And Paul said in verse 5, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike." And he points out that you're not the judge, and I'm not the judge, but that we are servants of the Lord, that he is the judge. He says in verse 7, "None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." And so he asked this question, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Verse 10. And so it's not my place to judge you when it comes to a matter of individual determination. I'm not to hold you hostage to my conscience, nor are you to hold me subject to yours. But we live and we die unto the Lord. You see, my life is one that is to be dedicated unto the Lord. That's the life of Paul. When you read the work of Paul throughout, from Acts 9 all the way through his death, his last words to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He lived under the Lord. Galatians 2, 20, he said, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God." How do you live that life now, Paul? He said that he was living for Jesus, didn't he? "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And in his second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 5, he said in verse 15 that Jesus died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so we're not here to live unto ourselves or to live for ourselves. We live unto the Lord. We live for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we die unto him, you see. We die unto him. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2, and in verse 10. The Bible talks about those who would die in the Lord in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. John said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. John, what did that voice say unto you? Write. What did that voice tell you to write? Blessed are the dead. Is that what the voice said? Just blessed are the dead? No, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. See, the only death that is described as being precious in this book is the death of those who would die in the Lord. And then he went on to say, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And so there's a progression of thought, isn't there, in this prepositional phrase, unto the Lord, as we find it used in the New Testament. The folks who turned unto the Lord, were added unto the Lord, who were exhorted to cleave unto the Lord, and taught to live and die unto the Lord. We face a challenge today of trying to get people to turn unto the Lord. We face a challenge of those who turn unto the Lord and are added to the Lord, of trying to get them to cleave unto the Lord, to be faithful unto the Lord, to live and to die unto the Lord. And you and I need to see the value and the importance of turning our lives unto the Lord. There may be one or more in this audience this afternoon who's not yet turned unto the Lord. Would you do that? Would you be moved and motivated to follow the examples of those that we've read and studied about this afternoon who turned unto the Lord? There may be some things that you need to turn away from, just like they did. They turn from vanities. They turn from idolatry unto the Lord. Would you be like those who are added unto the Lord? In Acts chapter 2, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said, what shall we do? And when they were told what to do, they did it the same day. And as a result of doing it, they were added to the Lord. There's no better person or thing that you could be added to than to the Lord and His church. The church is the body of Christ, that blood-bought institution of which Paul said, the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Acts 20, verse 20. And to think that we can be added to that by faith, repentance, confession, and being baptized into Jesus Christ. And then once I've been added unto the Lord, I need to cleave unto Him. I need to have the purpose of heart that I'm going to remain with Him. I'm going to continue with Him. He's not going anywhere. He said, I will be with you. You know, the Bible talks about God is faithful. And that He'll not leave us or forsake us. Sometimes we're not faithful. Sometimes we leave Him. Sometimes we turn away from Him. And if that be the case this afternoon, it's our prayer that you will come back to Him and that it'll be your purpose of heart to cleave unto Him, to remain with Him. So that one of these days, as you live unto Him, you can die unto Him. You can die that death that is said to be blessed. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I hope this little expression that appears a good number of times throughout this book will be one that will be of some help to us, that will be meaningful to us, that we can make practical application to our lives to help us to be faithful all the days of our life. If we can assist you this day in your relationship unto the Lord, we plead with you to not delay. Come up front, take a seat. We'll be glad to help you as we stand and sing the song.